Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. This is episode 4 of Truth and Circumstances. Today we're going to answer the question, I'm attracted to someone at work, and I think they're attracted to me. As a married person, how far should I allow that relationship to develop?
Yeah, that's a very good and very serious issue, and it pops up a lot, probably more than people would care to admit. But I would want to acknowledge the difference between a man saying this and a woman saying this, because if a man says this. Never underestimate the ability of a man to convince himself that any woman is into him. So if a man is saying this, it's possible that he's totally delusional.
It's probable.
Yeah, you're right. But he could be right. And so all of the things that we're going to say, he should do anyway. All right. If it's a woman, she's probably right.
Sure.
Either way, the prescription is going to be the same. So
sure.
What we're laying out here is going to be the same.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, it should also be noted, too, that whether the situation is at work or in the neighborhood or wherever, the prescription is also the same.
Yeah, agreed? Yeah. We've phrased this as if it's a workplace situation, but
yeah,
a lot of us have heard of situations where it's a next-door neighbor or something like that, and so it's always going to be
sure.
Basically the same framework for how to deal with it.
Right. Yeah. Well, first, naturally, get in the scriptures.
Yes. And you know what? A lot of times, this is the exact opposite of what people want to do, especially if their sinful heart wants to kind of flirt with that temptation. Whenever there's a temptation in our life that we kind of want to entertain, the scriptures are like the last thing that we want to get into, but that's exactly why it needs to be the first thing that we run to. And when it comes to any kind of sexual temptation or adulterous possibility, Proverbs 5 through 7 is a fantastic place to go. A lot of people think of Proverbs as a collection of just these kind of bite-sized portions of truth. And that's true for most of Proverbs, but those three chapters, for the most part, read like almost like an epistle. I mean, they all go together, and there's an argument being made. You can't take one verse out of context the way that you might be able to do with the rest of Proverbs. So Proverbs 5 through 7 is a great place to be, and what Solomon is doing in those chapters is he's warning his sons about this very scenario. And in multiple places, he calls them to remember his teachings, which we could assume to be not only Proverbs, but Solomon's other writings. But we could also include in that all other scriptures, since all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. So Solomon was giving his sons his teaching. We should broaden that as believers to include all of scripture. But certainly these three chapters in Proverbs are going to be very helpful because that's specifically what they were designed for. So just a few places in those chapters that call us to pay close attention to the Word in this kind of situation is the very first couple of verses of chapter 5, Proverbs 5, 1 and 2. My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. Pay close attention to the Word. It's going to guard you from something, and we find out what that something is later on. Proverbs 5, 7, and now, O sons, listen to me and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Proverbs 6, 20 through 24, my son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. When you hear that, bind them on your heart always, what does that bring to mind?
Well, I would say paying attention, being attentive to these scriptures.
Yeah, yeah, and we might even say memorizing the scriptures.
Oh, yes.
Bind them on
yeah.
your heart, tie them around your neck.
Mm.
And that reminds me also of Deuteronomy 6, where There's the passage about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, keeping them on your between your eyes and on your hands. So you want to keep the word in front of you all the time is the idea.
Absolutely.
To remind you of the Lord that you serve and which way you're supposed to go, right?
Right.
Okay.
Well, obviously, it seems that these passages in Proverbs are written to a man and a man's perspective, but it can be applied both ways, right?
Yeah, definitely. And that's going to happen all over the place in the scriptures. Mm. So he is writing to his sons, but we would be fools to think that because he's writing to sons, a woman couldn't apply these things.
Right.
Surely that's not the case. So we could also go over to the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 through 8. Which reads, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lusts like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you." And, you know, the purpose of getting into the scriptures is it reorients our minds and our hearts towards what is right and good and pure, and it reorients our minds to the things of the Lord. The further, right. the longer that we are away from the Lord, the easier it is going to be for our hearts to stray towards things that are not good for us and towards things that do not honor him.
Right. Well, yeah. You mentioned at the beginning too, our temptation's not to go to the scriptures. One of those reasons is we can't really rationalize our wrongdoing when we're in the word and it's coming up against those ways of thinking and acting. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the Holy Spirit who resides inside of us, the sword that he swings is the word. Mm. And so when we keep that tool in his hands, then he's going to use it, and he's going to keep our consciences sharp. The quickest way to dull our conscience is to stay away from the word, and to subject ourselves to temptation and to the things of the world. Our consciences will be dulled, and we will find it much easier to stray into sin.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we got to be in the Word.
Right. Well, secondly, Greg, we need to recognize the danger.
Yes. it would be nice, you know, if we had this blinking light on our shoulder whenever that attraction to the opposite sex comes up. You know, the Danger Will Robinson thing.
Oh, yeah.
Do you recognize that reference?
Danger absolutely
Will
not.
Robinson? That's what I
just said yeah to make you seem like I did.
Right. Yeah, you know what? Probably most people my age wouldn't even recognize that reference, which proves my nerd chops.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you can Google that and see.
Nerd chops.
Danger Will Robinson is what you need to Google.
Okay, not nerd chops.
No,
okay.
Nerd chops, that's how accomplished I am in nerddom.
Sure.
But recognizing the danger is something that the scriptures are going to accomplish for us, okay? Mm. But we want to know that's kind of why we're going to the Word, is so that we can recognize the danger. And when we live in Proverbs 5 through 7 and passages like 1 Thessalonians 4, when we're doing that, the way to use those scriptures appropriately is to associate that person at work or that person in the neighborhood with whom we have this attraction, associate that person with the forbidden woman in those scriptures, okay? So if there is a woman at work or a man at work that we're attracted to, we want to think of them in terms of that forbidden woman in Proverbs 5 through 7. Now, we don't want to demonize them, but just recognize that for us, that person is forbidden and is an inappropriate relationship that will destroy our lives. Hmm. And there are multiple places in those chapters in Proverbs that speak of that possibility of the destruction of life, like Proverbs 5:22 and 23. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray. So, you know, this is not just an innocuous thing that is going on in your mind and in your heart. This is something that can kill you. The wicked is ensnared by his own sin. He dies for lack of discipline. That's really strong language.
It is, yeah. Some people might rather die physically than go through the repercussions of committing adultery. It's very, I think they use that imagery for good cause. Good
reason. Absolutely, yeah. And those of us who have watched people walk through the pain of adultery would agree with what you said. I mean, it would be easier for the spouse who has been cheated on. It would be easier for them, for their spouse to have died.
Wow. Yeah.
Than for emotionally and everything, that would be easier for them than for them to have been betrayed in that way. And for the repentant one who committed adultery, it would also have been easier for them to have died or for their spouse to have died. The pain, it was far less when there's just a physical death than having caused this horrendous pain that you then have to live through. So I think you're right that there's purpose in this death analogy. There's another one in Proverbs 6, 27 through 29. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. None who touches her will go unpunished. And, you know, with sexual sin, a lot of times people think that, well, I can just, I'll dabble in this a little bit. In the way that this question that we're dealing with is kind of phrased, assumes that mentality, you know, how far should I let this develop? How far can I go into this before it's dangerous? You can hear in that this idea, you know, how close can I carry fire to my clothes before I get burned? This scripture is saying, can a man carry fire close to his clothes and them not be burned? No, you can't. You need to recognize the danger. I think probably the greatest warning in these chapters in Proverbs is in chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. We'll talk more about this image that he paints, but he's talking about a young man who follows after the forbidden woman, and he says, all at once he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast, till an arrow pierces its liver. As a bird rushes into the snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life. Hmm. Of course, Solomon again is just saying, you need to recognize this has the potential to ruin you.
Sure.
Yeah.
Greg, what would you say to the person who really doesn't feel tempted to have an affair, but is more interested in what is prudent?
I think I would say don't minimize the danger by saying to yourself, I would never do anything.
Sure.
I just want to know how to be wise about this situation. Admit to yourself right away that you are a sinner and there is within your heart the capacity to perform any sin. You know, every one of us are capable of any sin if not for the restraining grace of God. So by admitting to yourself that you're attracted to that person and that person may be attracted to you, there is danger on the radar and it should be dealt with decisively. You should not even allow it to enter your mind. Well, I would never do anything. You should proceed as if you would do something, and now here's what needs to be done in order to prevent that from happening. I mean, how many people think they're going to have an affair before they have one? I mean, you know, we've got these horrendous websites out there where you can actually go and pursue an affair.
Yeah.
As believers, we're assuming that that's not the case here. This is something that is happening at work, and it's just because you don't have your eyes open. Most believers that have affairs, they didn't set out to do it. It it happened because they did not have their eyes open.
Yeah.
I don't know the statistics, but I'm aware of numerous instances where people were not looking for an affair, but it happened.
Right. Yeah. I mean, now is the time to see it for what it is, and if you wait, it'll be too late.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You've got to catch it before it happens. No, nobody ever thinks it's going to happen. And how many people have said once it was too late, man, I wish I had seen this coming. Not recognizing the danger is just crazy foolish. So as we close, I want to go back a little bit earlier into Proverbs 7. Solomon is painting a picture of this foolish young man. He says, "For at the window of my house I've looked out through my lattice, and I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness." So he's painting the picture of this young man who has his head in the clouds, and he may not even be necessarily looking for sin. The way he paints this, he doesn't give any indication that this young man is actually looking for a woman, but he's got his head in the clouds. He's not paying attention, but sin is looking for him, and that's the point of Proverbs 7. He goes down the wrong road at the wrong time, and this woman, this forbidden woman, is looking for him, and she snatches him. Sin is looking for him. He's not on his guard. And this text calls him a fool for not being ready for it. How much more foolish is it then to see that there is danger and still allow for an opportunity?
Yeah. These are very important things to consider. Yeah, we kind of reached the end of our time today. Yeah, next week we'll pick up with a few more points.
Okay, very good. See you then.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.